If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with us to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. The book of Joshua, chapter number 6. As we look into this portion of Scripture this morning, we remember that Joshua is leading the children of Israel, and the children of Israel are not a warlike people whatsoever. And those Israelites are not prepared to go up against the city of Jericho. City of Jericho is a double-walled city. It is believed that the first wall is about 12 feet thick, and the second wall is another 6 feet thick after a space of about 12 feet between. It is a city of great gates and a city of mighty men. And as Joshua closes in towards the city of Jericho, he begins to try to look over that city, and when he looks up, he sees the captain of the host of the Lord. And he asked him, he said, "Are you for us or against us?" And he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?" And immediately Joshua recognized that this is the Lord himself. And he fell on his face and he began to worship God. And right there, the captain of the Lord's host said to him, he said, "Loose your shoe from off your feet, because the place whereon thou standest, it's holy ground." Ain't you glad this morning, y'all? We're on holy ground. Praise the Lord. And we begin to come to chapter number 6, and we see in the very first verse, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." When I look into this portion of Scripture today, I think about what the captain of the Lord's host, what he told Joshua. In the very second verse, he said, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." I believe the captain of the Lord's host would say to us today, he wants us to see. Now, when the Lord says see, he can open your eyes and cause you to see things you've never seen before. And when I think about that term there, the very first point being the word see, I think about seeing things from God's perspective. So many times we see things the way we see them, from man's perspective, and we think we're all lofty and we have it all figured out, but we really don't. He says, "I want you to see this, Joshua, from my perspective." He said, "I want you to see it. I have given into thine hand Jericho." You know that he's speaking here in the past tense. He says, "I have already given it to you. It's already done. Now the battle's not fought yet. The walls haven't fallen yet. But God says this is a past tense battle. I've already taken care of it." I'm glad I serve a God like that, who sees things that to me are not as though they were, and they're already accomplished and done. And God says, "I just want you to see, Joshua, this battle's already over, though you've not had to fight yet." Whoo, what a blessing that is this morning. You know what he's done for us, amen? He's given unto us eternal life. It's already done. I've already got everlasting life. I'm already on my way to glory. And God sees me as already there, even though I'm still standing here. You know, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 3, "According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life." He said he's given us eternal life. He's given us the Holy Spirit of promise. He's given us blessing after blessing after blessing. Friend, I'm telling you, he's not going to fail you now. He's already seeing this thing is done. That's seeing things from God's perspective. So many times we don't view it that way, and we need to learn to put off the old man and put on the new man. And then there's God's promises. He says, I want you to see. I have given you the victory. I have given into thine hand Jericho. God's promising victory. Friend, I'm telling you, we sat around at the church house like heaven's bankrupt. God don't care. Nobody loves us. When God has already promised to the believer victory. Glory to God, if you know your team's going to win, you celebrate before the game ever starts because you know this thing's already over. Hallelujah to God. Now, there are many enemies in Canaan land. There are many enemies galore. And inside those double walls of Jericho, there are mighty men. But the greatest battle that Joshua is going to face, the greatest battle that the children of Israel is going to face, is not the walls of Jericho, is not the gates of that city, is not the mighty men inside. The battle they've got to fight is with themselves. It is a battle of faith. So you have to hear God promise us victory, and you just must believe Him. And you sit around and say, preacher, it can't be that easy. I promise you, or God promises you, that it is. Amen. Listen to these words. He says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, wait a minute, preacher. The Lord has told Joshua to see. He's not telling him to see as a man sees. He said, I want you to see as I see. I want you to put your faith on. He said, you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith, Joshua. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. God gave Joshua a vision through the captain of the Lord's host speaking to him. He got a vision of what God was going to do. And I want you to know, he just told him plain and simple to see. I think about blind Bartimaeus in the book of Mark chapter 10. You remember that man who was blind? And Jesus called for him and said, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? What do you want me to do? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now, don't think he was just talking about physical vision, but he had been tired of living in darkness, not physically, but spiritually. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And not only did Jesus save him and give him spiritual vision, but he gave him physical vision as well. I wonder this morning if God came and said, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? Is there anybody here to say, boy, I'd like to see. I'd like to see things, God, as you see things. I'm tired of living as a man and seeing things from doom and gloom and despair. I want to start seeing things by faith. Lord, I want you to open my eyes. I'm tired of living in the darkness of this present world. I think about in 2 Kings, in chapter number 6, there was Elisha. And all the armies of the world had surrounded the city. And his servant was making observation. The Bible says in 2 Kings 6, and hosts compassed the city, both with horses and with chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that be with them. And I know the servant was probably thinking, Elisha, are you kidding? Look at all these horsemen and all these chariots that surround us, and you're saying there's more with us than is with them? The Bible says that Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Evidently, Elisha already had his eyes open. Now he's praying for somebody else to get their eyes open.
What we need in our churches is a people that has a vision for the things of God rather than what things are for what God wants them to be, for what God intends them to be. That's what we need in our churches. He said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of chariots of fire round about Elisha. When God opened that young man's eyes, he saw that what Elisha said was true. They that be with us are more than they be with them. Friend, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I realize it looks bad. I realize the situation's not good. But if God could just open your eyes and let you rise above where you currently dwell and let you see things from his perspective, it'd change your attitude. It would encourage you today. But the only way you're going to be able to receive this gift is you've got to see it through the eye of faith, not the eye of a man. Now this, speaking to him, telling him to see, is the captain of the Lord's host. I just wonder how much power the captain has. More than enough. I just wonder how many hosts are on the side of the captain. More than enough. So friend, if you and I could just see things this morning, it'd really help us. It'd really help us not to be so stressed out. And then second of all, I begin to think about this word, silence. Now there are some significant events that are going to take place. The Lord gave a message in verses 3-5 to Joshua. He began to give him instructions. He said, Joshua, I want you to take the people and I want you to line them up with the armed men in the front, and then I want you to put the priest, seven of them with seven trumpets. Then I want you to have the Ark of the Covenant, and then I want you to have all the rest of the people to be behind that. And he said, I want you every day to line up just like that and walk all the way around the city. And I want you to do that for 6 days. And I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to utter a sound. I want you to be completely quiet when you do it. Can you see the men of the walls of Jericho as they're looking and see the children of Israel lined up with the armed men? They said, get ready, prepare for battle. And then they see the priests, they see the Ark of the Covenant and all the people behind, and all they do is start walking. Can you see them as they're watching them on them walls? Where are they going? Somebody report on the other side. They're coming this way. And they go all the way around the city and they walk off back towards Gilgal to camp for the night. And for 6 straight days, without saying a word, they marched all the way around that city one time. One time the first day, one time the second day, one time the third day, one time the fourth day, one time the fifth day, one time the sixth day. And he said, on the seventh day, you go around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, I want the trumpets to blast. And then I want the people to shout. But only on the seventh time around. And when you do, the walls of the city are going to fall flat. That's God's message to Joshua. Joshua receives God's message by faith. He did not doubt that it was going to happen just as he said. So now by faith, Joshua has got to stand up in front of all his people and say, God said to line up just like this. And God said, and I believe him, to march all the way around the city one time each day for 6 days. You know, he's got to have enough faith to believe God, but he's also got to have enough faith to stand up and lead the people. The people's going to have faith too. They're going to have faith to follow Joshua as he presents to them God's message. You may say, I'll get God's message myself. Well, amen, preacher. You go ahead. But I'm telling you, God told the people he was going to speak through Joshua. They took this message that Joshua declared in faith as the word of God, and they acted upon it. Now, friend, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. In other words, all the people believed the Lord. There wasn't one person that said, I don't like this. They may have thought it, but they didn't say it. There's not one person that said, we ain't never done nothing like this before. A faith walking. It's amazing you'll participate in a cakewalk, but not in a faith walk. Amen? I want you to understand there's something about the obedience of faith. Joshua followed God, and the people followed Joshua. You may say, I don't like that. Listen to what Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am followers of Christ. Hebrews 13:7, I believe the writer is probably still Apostle Paul. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What about Naaman, who came to the man of God and said, I've got leprosy. And the man of God said, you dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be clean. And Naaman said, I ain't never done nothing like that before. Aren't the Arbana and the Pharfar better rivers than the Jordan River? The Jordan's a mud hole compared to these other splendid rivers. And one of his men came and said, now Naaman, if the man of God had asked you to give $1 million, you could have given it. If he'd asked you to give $100, you'd have given it. If he'd asked you to build a new church for him, if you'd allowed him some type of freedom or some great thing, Naaman, would you not have done it? He said, I would have done it. He said, then how easy is it just to go to the river and dip 7 times? Just listen to what the man of God said. So Naaman humbles himself and says, God allowed a man of God to share this with me, and I'm going to believe what the man of God said because I believe God told him. And he went down to the river and he dipped 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. I don't think he got up and said, well, there ain't nothing happening. I don't see any change. I'm just going to quit. No, he said, I've come this far. I'm going to go the rest of the way. Number 5, he went down. 6, he went down. And the 7th time he went down in the river and he got up and he is spotless, amen. The leprosy he was cleansed of. And don't you know, he probably began to shout and say, glory to God. And hallelujah, I've been redeemed. Friend, I would say something. There is an obedience to faith. If God tells you to do such and such, it may seem odd. You may kind of question it at the moment, but if you'll just do what God says do, friend, it'll all work out. I remember where my dad pastors. I was there and I laid on my heart to walk around the walls of the church every day for 6 days. We met at like 7 o'clock at night. We shook hands in the parking lot and said, here we go, no talking, fellas. And we lined up. There's just a few of us. But we lined up, walked all the way around the walls of that church in the middle of the city. And people looked at us in single file and thought we were a bunch of fools. But we did it every day, believing God was going to do something because I believe God laid it on my heart. And on the 7th day, we went around it 7 times. And you ought to have seen how the crowd had grown all week long. Now we got a whole bunch of people. And we were walking around the walls of the church and God said, when you do this, on the 7th time around, you shout. Now the city police had pulled across the street. And they were watching us thinking, that church is on drugs. I want you to look at them. Got their hands over their head and single file high, not singing a word, going around and around. And he just sat there mesmerized. And a little bit other people was gathered. And on the 7th time around, being the first one, I just went, woo, glory! Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And the people behind me started shouting. I'm telling you what, I know that thought we'd lost our everlasting mind. But the next day at church, God saved 52. Not because I did something, not because those other men did something, because God wants us to know when the walls of sin fall, it's something only God can do. Only God can cause the walls to fall. So it's got to be something that they obey. Now, there's also going to be the courage of faith. What do you mean the courage of faith? There's dangers. Don't you know if the people of Jericho wanted to, they could take an arrow and just start picking people off? Don't you know that they probably said, Joshua, don't we need a shield? Don't we need something to protect us? Joshua said, no. God said walk around the city walls. He's going to protect us. That's good enough. A preacher, don't make sense. We've got to have some kind of insurance. We've got to have some kind of coverage. I mean, you can't just enter into this just like this. This ain't going to work. Joshua said, God said it would. And they didn't question Joshua. They just did it. And you know what happened, amen? The walls of Jericho did fall flat. Hey, despite, can you imagine those Canaanites up on the wall said, look at them crazy fools. On about the third or fourth day as they laughed and mocked and ridiculed them. But I'm telling you what, on the seventh time around, when they began to shout and the wall started quaking and fell flat, I bet who's trembling now? Who's ridiculing now? Who's mocking now? I think about the commitment of faith. Look with me down here in verse number 14. The second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Now the people is going to go around this city wall once every day for 6 days. They've got to be persistent. They've got to be patient. They've got to continue on even when it seemed like nothing's happening. Now I'm going to tell you what. I believe they feared God. I believe they said, God told us what to do. If we want to have victory, we better follow His plan and not alter from it. And so they were persistent. You know, I'll tell you something. God encourages you to be faithful. To be faithful to His Word. To be faithful to His Son. To be faithful to His church. Now, you believe you can come and go as you want. Do any old thing you want to do. Faithfulness don't matter to you. But it matters to God. And until Jericho is conquered in your life, you'll never get real victory. Jericho has to fall. What is Jericho, preacher, for me? It could be unfaithfulness. It could be indifference. It could be the lack of joy. It could be some sin in your life. It could be unanswered prayer. It could be a family crisis. It could be some financial situation in your life. And you're looking at this wall, a double wall of Jericho in your family, in your finances, in your life. And you think, how am I going to conquer that? I tell you how. Just believe God. And get faithful to Him. Now, I want to say faithfulness to a lot of people is relevant. I could look you in the face and say, are you faithful? And you'd say, I don't miss one Sunday morning. I'm here every Sunday. And you're faithful about being here on Sunday morning. But what about Sunday night? Well, I didn't know we had a Sunday night service. What about Wednesday night? Why, you wouldn't expect me to do that, would you? Do you think God would expect you to attend His house? Well, I'm just telling you, it couldn't have been easy for them to go around the city walls Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever day, each. And you mean God expected them to go around every day? Every day. God expects you to be faithful to Him. Every day. You want victory over this thing? Every day. No wonder God brought you to a Jericho. No wonder God's got you facing mighty enemies right now. Because you won't serve God, so God allows something to come into your life to drive you to your knees, to get you to return to Him. And you may say, oh, I ain't there yet. It's coming. And when it does, you'll be glad that you know that God forgives sin. And He'll help you out of your situation. I want you to know they had to be committed by faith to what God wanted to do. Then I think about their discipline again in verse 10. I just want to reiterate this. The discipline of faith. Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Why were they supposed to be quiet? I'll tell you why. Because with our mouths, we're prone to doubt. And when you start talking about your doubt, you start sowing seeds of doubt to somebody else. And when they hear you saying, I don't know about what Joshua's got us into, what do you think? I don't know either. I don't think I'm coming back tomorrow. This is crazy. But not a one of them did that. You know why? Because Joshua commanded them to keep their mouth shut. Silence. God said, first of all, I want you to see. Second of all, I want you to be silent. Keep your mouth shut. Thirdly, in verse number 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That's our third point, shout. Before the walls ever fail, shout. They'd walked around six straight days, inspect the walls. There's not a crack, not a chip, not any sign that anything has changed. But they walked around six more times on the seventh day, and still there's not a crack in any one of those walls. And then they hear their leader say, shout, shout to the Lord, for he hath given you this city. Well, glory, hallelujah. Bless his holy name. God's been good to us. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, when's the last time you just took off shouting? Well, I ain't got nothing to shout about. Ask you a question. Did they? Yes, they did. God had brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. He saved you. God had brought them across the Red Sea safely. God had brought them through 40 years in the wilderness. God had provided for them every step of the way. God had them cross the Jordan River. God brought them to Canaan land. God gave them the battle plan to defeat Jericho. God had blessed them, and they said, yes, we've got something to shout about. Look at my youngins. Woo! Look at my family. Look at all the provisions God's given to me. Look at the people in my life. Look at my friends, and look at my captain. Woo! I got something to shout about, and just took off shouting. And when they did, the walls fell flat. Well, preacher, that just don't make no sense. I'm telling you what, our God, the Bible says he inhabits our praise. You may say, I don't like to go to a church where there's a bunch of shouting going on. May I remind you that Jesus shouted? He what? I said Jesus shouted. When he was standing outside of Lazarus' tomb, when he had stood there and wept, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He had to call Lazarus by name, because if he just said come forth, everybody got up.
That's right.
So he just said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't just say it. He cried with a loud voice. He shouted in faith. And Lazarus walked out bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Hey, you know on the cross, Jesus, he cried with a loud cry. He shouted, it is finished. Preacher, don't be so loud. You're bothering me. I'm trying to get the point across. He shouted, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And immediately, amen, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom when Jesus shouted. The earth began to shake, and the graves were opened. And at his resurrection, all those Old Testament saints that slept got up out of their graves. When he shouted the second time, the Old Testament saints got up. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Yep. Woo! Come up, my bride, and all God's children, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Don't you tell me you don't like shouting. I'm going to say to you, Jesus shouted. If you don't like what Jesus is doing, then fooey on you. The devil don't like what Jesus is doing. The flesh don't like what Jesus is doing. The world don't like what Jesus is doing. But the saints of God, the believers, the redeemed, they like what Jesus is doing. And if Jesus is going to do it, we ought to be a-doing it too. I'll never forget, I was at church. There's an old boy in the church, son, he got up. In the middle of the service, I'd never seen him pop any notes or anything out of his voice box at all in the service. And he jumped up in the middle of service and he commenced to shouting. I mean, the choir was singing just like they normally sang. But that night, he started shouting. The preacher preached no different than he'd ever preached. The people had been praying no different than he'd ever prayed. But he started to shout. And you know what happened? His whole family got in church right after that. I just sometimes kind of wonder, did he just stand up and shout in the face of the devil and say, "Woo, I'm glad I'm saved. And though it looks like you're winning this battle, God has promised me victory." And the walls of sin fell flat in his home and his whole family got in the house of God. I'm going to tell you something. You may think I can't shout at Bethel Baptist Church, but I'm going to tell you something, you can. I've been to ball games with a few of you. I've seen you shout there, shouting over your team winning. And sometimes I've seen you shout over your team losing. At that fellow that had on a striped shirt with a whistle in his mouth. I thought about inviting him here. We'd have more shouting here than we've ever had before if I could just get him to blow that whistle. We need to learn to shout by faith. You may say, "Preacher, now I just ain't a shouter." Well, I'm going to ask you, can you see by faith? No, I'm not much of a man of vision. Well, can you be quiet then? Can you keep silence by faith? No, I like to talk too much. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Today, if you're standing to your feet, you need help. There ought to be somebody in this building ought to get in this altar and say, "God, I want to see by faith from your perspective. I want to understand. I want wisdom. I want guidance. I want to see, Lord. I want to see. Help me to do so." Might be somebody here say, "Preacher, I want to come to the Lord and I want to say, Lord, help me to be silent. I do talk when I shouldn't talk. I do say things when I shouldn't say things. I'm prone to doubt and prone to sow discord. Oh, God, I want to learn to keep silence." And I wonder if there's somebody here say, "Oh, God, give me a shout. Help me by faith at some point in time, even if it's today before I leave, to just stand up and say, well, glory to his name. And though it may shock the whole civilized world and cause somebody to fall over in the church, I want to shout before Jesus Christ calls me away from this world in faith." People's bowing in this altar. I wonder, is there somebody else you need to come at this time? God spoke to you. God has spoke to your heart. The Bible says that when the walls of the city fell flat, all the silver and the gold they gave to God, and all the city they burnt with fire because they said, "We don't want any of this destruction. Anything the devil's touched, we don't want it." Oh God, I bow my head before you this morning. And Lord, I want to confess to you, Lord, I don't see things as I ought to. I see things as the world sees things. I see things as a man sees things. But Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to be a man of vision. Give us vision, God. There have been times you've showed us. God, I praise you for it. God, there's been times you led us to it and said, "I want you to see this is what I'm going to do." And God, we have seen your own hand move and we've seen your own voice, God, as it spoke to us. We have seen your accomplishments. Lord, we've seen it before, God. I pray we've not seen it for the last time. Help us to see it again, God. I'm asking this. Lord, then help us to be silent. God, there's times that we can't talk to anybody. We don't have a friend we can count on in this world, but we count on you. Let our mouths be silent and our ears open to attend to what you have to say. Let our mouths be silent for just a little while, God, and help us, Lord, just to meditate upon you and think about you, God. And then, Lord, at the appropriate time, God, I pray right in the face of the walls of Jericho, right in the face of our ridiculing enemy, God, you'd help us to shout. Though it seems nothing is happening, though it seems the circumstance and the situation's not changed, help us just to stand up and say, well, glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, which was slain for my sins and the sins of the whole world. God, help us just to do that. God, that shout is an outward show of an inward confidence in you. Help us to do so, God. Help us to do it in faith. Now, Lord, we ask God, you'd cause the walls of Jericho to fall flat when we commit to you all the way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I remember the night Brother Percy Ray was preaching at a great big First Baptist church. It was a place where the highbrow of society had attended. The pastor had felt led to ask the man of God to come and preach in revival there. And sitting on the front row, as the choir's getting ready to start on the very first night, and the preacher hardly knows anybody there, he said the Holy Ghost spoke to his heart and said, I want you to shout. Brother Percy said, Lord, I can't shout here. They don't even know me yet. If they get to know me a few days, then they'll kind of understand what my shouting's all about. He said, I want you to shout now. If you don't shout now, the walls of sin are not going to fall. If you don't shout now, I'm not going to save that boy. He said, I don't even know who that boy is. But he said, I was sitting there on the front row, and he said, by faith, I stood up. He said, I reared back and said, well, glory, glory, glory. He said, I shouted all the way across the front and back two or three times. He said, I knew it was not anything I was doing. But he said, there was an old boy on about the third row, dove out of there and laid on that altar. And the pastor fell over there with him. And he said, that boy stood up and got saved. And the preacher kept on shouting the whole time. And the boy's trying to talk about getting saved. And he said, the Lord told me there'd be a man come into this church to preach. And when he started shouting, that was going to be my sign that I was lost. And he said, I'm safe here at First Baptist. Ain't nobody ever shouted here before. Ain't nobody going to start shouting, so I know I'm saved. He said, but when that man stood up by faith and started shouting, when nothing was even happening in this service, he said, I'm telling you, God thundered through my soul. I fell under conviction, and I called on his name, and I've just been saved. And at the First Baptist church, they started shouting all through the pews. Let me tell you something, friend. There's a time we can see. There's a time we need to keep silent. But there's a time we can shout. Joshua said, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That's victory. Let me tell you something else. Not just Jericho, but he's given us New Jerusalem. He's given us a city called heaven, so fair and so bright to be reunited with our loved ones once more. Hey, we can shout because he's given us the city. Amen. Bless his good name.